Welcome to the Lineup Logic Week 7 NFL live stream. Joining me this week as usual, Josh Fernandez. What's going on, Fern?
Oh, not much, Mike. Just yet another fantastic Friday. Talking football with you, NFL DFS, ready to break down this slate. And this particular one looks like it's going to be a slate that rewards the diligent researchers.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we were saying before we jumped on, we both prefer this kind of slate where, and it's a small slate, 10 games, but there's no, you know, there's no clear-cut avenue. You can't just use Mahomes or the Chiefs. You can't, you know, take a game that has a 60 over-under and plug in all the parts and just let it carry you to victory. You actually have to do a little bit of research, so...
Believe it or not.
Yeah. There are some chalky plays.
I play in a FanDuel league with some of my buddies from my softball team. And I know for certain that probably maybe excluding me, like two of them are, really into researching. Like the other seven just kind of make their lives while they're like sitting on the toilet Sunday morning. And I think that I'm really interested to see where they land this week, because like seeing their lineups, I feel like is a real like snapshot of what the average guy is thinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we actually do. I run a DK league for friends every year, and we this year I added the wrinkle of making it a high-low league. So you know you can win the high pot or the low pot for the week, and it's mostly casual players. And like the low is freaking people out; they hate it. They don't want to go for the low. It feels so counterintuitive.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, like the DKs run some of those contests for baseball, the high-low, but They do it like tier style. This is just straight up. The only caveat is you can't use an inactive player. You have to use a starting quarterback, and then you you have to spend 49 out of the 50K. So like the one guy had a great low lineup a couple weeks ago, but Mariota didn't start, and it was the week he was questionable.
Yeah.
So like he got disqualified.
Nice.
just a fun idea.
Yeah, that's interesting.
So yeah, let's dive in here. We've got a couple of chalky guys to talk about off the bat. If you haven't heard the news, which if you're on Twitter at all, you've definitely heard the news. Carlos Hyde got traded to the Jags. Nick Chubb is now presumably the starting running back for the Browns. I'm a big Chubb believer. I thought he was the second best rusher, pure rusher, out of this draft class, right behind Saquon. So I actually own him in like five out of six leagues. I'm that guy in your league that has had him stashed, and when you went to get him, you're not too pleased. But so he's very cheap on most sites. So give me your Chubb take for this week, because the Bucks have had a pretty solid run defense up till now. But they've also been in a lot of like passing kind of shootouts, and they're going to be missing Gerald McCoy, their star D tackle, but they're also kind of beat up on the D line.
Yeah. Going into today, prior to the trade, Hyde was by several projection sources I saw looking to be like anywhere from 10 to 14%. Depending on how you feel about Chubb, I mean about Carlos Hyde, going into today, you know, we're talking like high single digits, you know, at the most 15%. And of course the trade happened. I'm not touching Carlos Hyde, not touching Jamaal Charles. I'm not touching that Jaguars run game at all this week. But yeah, Chubb, I mean, 4,800 on FanDuel. just 8% of your salary cap. And his ownership right now, he's looking to be at around 10%. You and I were talking about this before we went live, and you know, it's likely that we'll see much higher than 10%. You know, he's a pretty popular name even among casual players. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, I remember week one, I was pretty adamant that we should fade James Conner, just because of the massive ownership when he was 5K. But I don't know. This week, I
like that comparison because it feels, at least the game plans feel very similar. And not coincidentally, Todd Haley, the former Pittsburgh coordinator now in Cleveland, they've been giving Carlos Hyde a ton of run up until last week when they just fell behind really early. He was second to Todd Gurley in attempts. We talked about that last week. Didn't pan out again because, you know, when you're down by three scores in the first half, I think it was like 21-3, you got nowhere to go but into the air. That may or may not be the case this week. I'm becoming a believer in the Buccaneers offense, at least from the standpoint that they're going to continue to be aggressive, and that is going to translate into points because of the weapons they have all throughout that passing game. So it could turn into a Duke Johnson game if the scoring is there, which a lot of people think it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I definitely think Chubb is going to get work. I mean, I don't know what the most carries he's had this year is. I mean, it can't be more than five.
Yeah, it's small.
But I, you know, don't see any reason why he can't approach 15 carries. I know that the price is significant between him and a lot of the other, you know, value plays. I mean, he's an extreme value play at 4,800. So, you know, like, we don't really know what to make of him quite yet in a feature role. We know that he's an elite physical specimen, an elite college talent prospect, but, you know, and he's shown some explosive, game-breaking ability so far in his young career. I don't know. Like, it's definitely worth a shot, in a few spots, but I wouldn't go crazy trying to roster him. I just think the likelihood is pretty high that he could be outscored by guys like, you know, Kerryon Johnson, Sony Michel, you know, I mean, maybe even Shady McCoy, depending on how that Bills and Colts game shakes out. And again, like, I know that those guys are like, they're cheap, but they're significantly more expensive than he is. But I don't know, it just depends on what your goal is. If you're looking to pivot on ownership, then, you know, Chubb might not necessarily be the way to go. But, you know, if we're trying to jam Gurley in, and I know we're going to talk a lot about him, you might have to eat the chalk with Chubb. At 10% right now, it's only going to keep going up over the weekend.
Yeah, I'd expect that to at least triple. Yeah. And it's interesting because Josh Reynolds of the Rams, he's filling in for Cooper Kupp. He was kind of the natural price point for fitting Gurley in. And so here's my Reynolds take. And I guess I'm a little disappointed that the Chubb situation has cropped up, because I like Reynolds. I do. But I think this matchup is the best take I've seen on it is that Sean McVay is a smart coordinator. Richard Sherman has been pretty good in coverage. He's going to stick Reynolds out on the right side, and he's just going to sacrifice him to Sherman in coverage and then let Cooks and Robert Woods do their thing in the slot on the left side, because Sherman won't rotate. That's the way they play it. That's the way he's always been. And they're content with that. They want to make their other guys stand on their own. So, that seems like kind of a perfect storm of things for Josh Reynolds to kind of wash out production wise and then to focus on Cooks and Woods.
Yeah, I think that is a pretty reasonable way to look at the situation. I, you know, as highly as Josh Reynolds is viewed by, you know, like the dynasty community, you know, he's got a little cachet there. You know,
he's a nice player. He's a good athlete. He was productive in college.
Mm-hmm. But it's just really hard for me to see him just slot right in there, next man up, and command a large target market share. You know, and I kind of look at this Rams. I mean, we've talked about this Rams team and how predictable they are, that you know where the production is going to come from. And so I would almost view this philosophically like an NBA situation, where if a star player goes down in NBA DFS, the sharp play is to not pivot to the guy that is his backup. The sharp pivot is to pivot to the other stars. Right. So I feel like Cooper Kupp going down only helps Woods and Cooks even more, just like you said before. So while the masses are going to Reynolds, you know, I think the sharper play is just to get more Robert Woods and more Brandon Cooks in your life.
Yeah, definitely. I like those guys a good bit. And I think the Niners are more beatable through the air than on the ground. Not that I don't like Todd Gurley this week. But just to wrap up this this lower price pivot segment, here's a couple guys that I have some interest in down in that tier. And I'm using DK pricing at the moment because that's where I focus during the week. But I'm sure they're fairly similar. So on the Browns, Damian Ratley, he's the next man up at wide receiver for them. Got 8 targets last week. Had a pretty nice day. He's going to be their third receiver. There's nothing left in the cupboard after him. They just can't have a rotation this week at wide receiver. If somebody needs a blow, like they have to go double tight or something. So you know he's right down there. He's a natural kind of pivot where he should be more chalky than he's going to be, I think, because of some of the things that happened. And the other one I like is Anthony Miller. Bears, especially with Allen Robinson popping up with a groin injury. He got in a limited session today, so he's probably going to suit up. But I think with a groin, he's going to kind of be a decoy out there more than a valid option. And Miller had a fairly decent game last week. He just missed on some big plays. So, you know, that both of the other guys in that Bears game, Taylor Gabriel and Anthony Miller, are nice plays, but Miller's the cheaper one, and he's a supreme athlete. He can absolutely take one to the house.
Yeah, Anthony Miller is definitely an interesting play. You know, you're hearing a lot on DFS Twitter and on the podcast rounds that the Bears skill players, you know, primarily guys like Taylor Gabriel, Anthony Miller, and Tariq Cohen, are just going to be matchup nightmares for the Patriots' slow and lumbering defense. The Patriots' defense is just not built to hang with athletes that the Bears have on the offensive side of the ball. You know, obviously, you've got more traditional, you know, power players like Allen Robinson and Jordan Howard, but this trio of guys, Miller and Gabriel and Cohen, are just going to be a nightmare for them. The question is, can they all eat at the same time? I mean, they proved to be able to do so against the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers are their own nightmare of a defense. The Patriots are not the greatest defense. They're going to let you get your yardage and whatnot. I just don't know if Chicago can put up, 35, 40 points against the Patriots. It's not out of the realm of possibility. That said, I think one of these guys is going to have a pretty nice day. Anthony Miller seems like he should be the lowest owned of that three. So it's definitely worth a try in large field GPPs.
Yeah, and it's interesting that they played the Chiefs last week, given that Matt Nagy is from that system, built a very similar offense. And hey, I mean, they gave up 40 to the Chiefs, but like against Pat Mahomes in catch-up mode, 40 is kind of like league average.
It's
So
crazy, man. The
I'm
scoring.
not like I think the Pats are an okay defense, especially with Trubisky. Like, he's mistake prone, so. They might be able to get to him. I think I said it on the Tuesday show. Like, as that game goes on and they start throwing more wrinkles at him, I think he could struggle. So I'm staying away from Trubisky, but the weapons you mentioned are all definitely in play. So let's talk some of the bigger games we have here on the slate, which there aren't many. Low 50s is as high as we're going on the main slate. You got the let's just I mean, we just kind of talk Pats Bears there, so I don't think we need to go too much further down that rabbit hole. Let's talk Browns and Bucks though. We touched on that a little bit with the Chubb segment. Obviously, the Bucks secondary is bottom three in the league. You can pretty much have your way with them. They're missing pass rush. McCoy's out. I think who's their other DN? Not JPP, but should know he's a former Eagle, but he's banged up as well. So they're gonna have a hard time probably getting to Baker, and that's kind of been the one spot where his struggles have originated, in my opinion, is with some pressure, and some of his inaccuracies probably stemmed from that. So given that he'll have looser coverage, more open receivers, and probably not as fierce of a pass rush, you know, the passing game is looking really nice for the Browns. And any favorite Browns of yours, Fern?
Oh man, the Browns passing game is definitely going to be a popular unit. The question is, you know, how popular are some of these pieces outside of Baker Mayfield going to be? I'm just looking at ownership projections right now, and Mayfield slots right in at number four, as of now, projected at around 8% ownership. You know, as we always mention, quarterback ownership tends to be really flat. You know, it's very rare to see a quarterback over 20%. You know, and I don't anticipate him to get much higher than 10 or 12%. So I love Baker. But as far as pass catchers go, I mean, for me, it all starts with David Njoku. You know, he's
Yeah, he's
leading
going to
that
be
team in
very popular.
targets the last couple of weeks with Baker in the picture. You know, if you pay attention to, I guess, you know, player assessment, you know, most people with a discerning eye will tell you that he's not the most pristine route runner. He's not the most polished player out there. But, you know, all things, you know, else being considered, I mean, he is one of the elite premier athletes at the tight end position, if not one of the most freakish physical specimens in, you know, all pass catchers out there. So if there's one team that he can just have an explosive blow-up spot against, it is Tampa Bay. I don't really
Yeah,
pay much attention to like, oh, this team is good against tight ends and this team is weak against tight ends and whatnot. I know that people like to look at that, and apparently Tampa Bay can be a little tricky against tight ends. The bottom
yeah.
line is Tampa Bay is a weak pass defense. They're going to
Well,
use
they're giving up
Njoku.
top tight ends every week, and it's really just because of the points. Like, there's no way to not get involved.
Right, exactly. So, you know, I just don't think that if I am playing in smaller tournaments or cash, I would look much farther down than Njoku. I mean, I guess maybe Jarvis Landry, but I don't know. He hasn't been really doing it much this year, you know, like everything says he should be doing more with the targets he's getting, but he's not getting as many targets as he was with Tyrod Taylor. So for me, it's all about Njoku.
Yeah, definitely on that same page. And even the targets that he and Callaway are getting, we talked about it on the Tuesday show. Like they're both getting 9 and 10 targets in games, but they're catching 2 and 3 balls, which is a terrible efficiency. And I mean, that's pointing to Baker. If Callaway, you could buy it because he's dropping balls, but Landry's, you know, he's not a guy who's known to drop balls and run bad routes. So, quite the opposite. Yeah. So this is a real litmus test for where this Browns team is at. You got Callaway there. He's probably going to get a lot of targets because he has to be out there every snap. If they're going to throw the ball 30, 40 times, that's, another 9 or 10 targets for Callaway. I mentioned Ratley early on, really nice price. He feels kind of sneaky. He's an okay receiver too. He's not like some scrub that they found sitting on his couch. And then Duke Johnson could be sneaky there too, given that if it turns into a passing affair and he manages to catch a touchdown, and given the running back landscape this week, there's really 2 or 3 guys that are going to score a lot of points, and that's it. Then over on the other side, I know people are after Peyton Barber, following his performance last week and his price this week, but he's Peyton Barber. Like, he'll be okay if you want to use him. He could have some value, but I don't see Peyton Barber winning you any big GPPs.
No, I think you got a much better chance just, eating the chalk with Chubb. If I'm picking any running back in this game, it's going to be him. The matchup, at least from a touchdown scoring perspective, the Browns and the Bucks are both giving up touchdown production to the running back position. I mean, it's nothing like New Orleans or, anything like that. But, we're not talking about, the Dallas or Carolina or Chicago run defenses here. I mean, you can score on the ground against Tampa Bay and Cleveland. But again, like Peyton Barber, I mean, he kind of reminds me a bit of Isaiah Crowell, and that he relies, and I could be wrong here, but just, speaking off the cuff right now, like, I feel like he relies heavily on breaking a big run each game to accumulate like a large chunk of yardage. And so when he puts up like 12, 14 points, half of it came on like a 50-yard run or something. Right. So I don't know. Like, I just feel that he has such a low floor, and I don't think the Tampa Bay is going to want to lean heavily on him. So I'm just not interested. I'm more interested in Chubb, but there's just something telling me to like avoid Chubb. He's just so cheap.
Yeah. And then the pass catchers for the Bucks. It's never a bad time to use Mike Evans. He can easily catch multiple long touchdowns, even against a good young corner like Ward. D-Jax and Chris Godwin have been rotating fairly evenly. So that's something to monitor as the season goes. I don't know if they're just trying to keep D-Jax from, having all the lower leg injuries and stuff that crop up for him. I think one or the other is going to have a big game, because we saw last week that a smart coordinator can shred this Browns defense with a good, a good scheme for a deep ball. Tyrell Williams scored like 2 deep touchdowns on the exact same play, and they might have caught a third pass for it. Was like the exact same route against the exact same coverage, and the Browns just didn't figure it out because Greg Williams, all he knows how to do is say, tear people's heads off and be aggressive. And that's the personality of his defense. So I think the Bucks, now that the Cutter's given up the play calling duties, they're a little bit better on the offense schematically. I can see either one or maybe even both of these guys having a good day. I don't think all three receivers is going to be enough production to get it done. But who's your favorite Bucks wide receiver?
Definitely D-Jax. I feel like, Cleveland is not an elite pass defense, and they're not a bad pass defense. I think they're like slightly better than average. And I think that their weakness is a breakdown in coverage, a lack of discipline throughout the game. And there are going to be periods of time where a player of D-Jack's profile can exploit them. As you mentioned, we saw Tyrell Williams just rip him apart two times on the exact same play. They're prone to that. The volume is definitely going to be there as always for Mike Evans and, Chris Godwin definitely has a role in this team, but Tampa Bay is going to want to go deep throughout the game. They're going to want to give Deshaun, chances to, take him over the top. And I really like his chances for at least one long touchdown, maybe two. He's got that double dong potential in him to just pop off at, what is he, 6,700 on FanDuel or, one of those five or six catch, 150-yard, two touchdown games. And I think this is a solid chance for him to get one. I like him a lot in this game. I really do.
I like that they're at home for him too. That's a little bit of a plus. He's better there. And don't forget about OJ Howard, the Bucks tight end. The Browns are nothing special against the tight end. And O.J. Howard, even off the knee injury last week, was immediately more involved than Cameron Brate. Brate only caught one pass, and it was for a touchdown. But O.J. Howard is definitely the preferred tight end on that team. Let's hit Rams-Niners real quick here, Fern. Rams side's kind of easy. You know, it's all focused. Cooks and Woods receiving, Gurley. I think we're both on Team Cram Him In, and Gurley is the captain of Team Cram Him In. Just maybe go overweight on him would be my only thought there.
Yeah, for sure. Looking at the ownership projections, believe it or not, not only is his ownership far and away the highest on the slate of any position, right now I'm looking at sorting the column, close to 50%. So we're going to be seeing Gurley, anywhere from 40 to 50% in most tournaments. I even think the higher dollar value you go up, the higher his ownership is going to be. I mean, it seems weird to say, but I think going overweight on Gurley is the sharp play.
Like his production is just such a sure thing. They're scoring so many points. Mm-hmm. He's such an integral part, especially in the red zone. They're really comfortable with him scoring touchdowns.
They really are. And I really think that, so let's just get the big thing out of the way in that there are some names up there. Okay. We're talking about guys like Zeke and Kamara and McCaffrey. Those are three guys that they're going to command some ownership. How much ownership? I don't see over 20%. I think they're going to be higher owned in the lower dollar tournaments. I think in my friends league, in our friends leagues, we'll see a couple of our buddies you know, rostering these guys to balance out their lineups more. And I don't think that that is the optimal play. Can Zeke, Kamara, McCaffrey get you 18 to 25 points? Sure. I just think that the likelihood that they outscore Gurley is not very high at all. And I think the likelihood that Gurley gets you 30 plus points again is exponentially higher than them getting you 30 plus points. I mean, this Dallas and Washington
Right.
game is going to be a slugfest, and it's really hard for me to see Zeke have a ceiling game. You know, Kamara going against Baltimore, I mean, he's going to be used a bit, you know, as a
It all
receiver.
depends on game script.
Exactly. And then McCaffrey going against Philly. I mean, you know as well as anybody, Mike. I mean, running backs against Philly, even of McCaffrey's caliber, it's a risky proposition.
Yeah,
So I
he's
don't
got
even
some
think that
floor,
it's a, I
but
don't even think that it's a smart pivot, you know, off Gurley at these elite talents. I just don't think that there's upside to doing that and pivoting to them.
then on the other side, I'm not really interested in any 49ers running back. Morris seems kind of like his time is coming to an end as a usable fantasy asset, however slight it was. Breida, he's talented, yes. My thing about Breida is he's been nicked up for a couple weeks now, and that just scares me off of him in any given week, where if he leaves the game for really any stretch, like, you could have a really hard time hitting value. And I'm not going to chase Mostert just quite yet, unless one of these other guys is truly out of the picture.
Right.
I,
Yeah, I
but
mean,
so.
there's only two guys that I'm interested in this game.
Goodwin,
Goodwin and
Beathard.
Bethard. That's it.
So I think a lot of people are on Beathard, and
They are.
that kind of, I know a quarterback ownership's not a big deal, and fading somebody isn't huge, but like I just think that the Packers are a bad defense, and he did well against them, which is a good sign. The Rams aren't a great defense at the moment because of injuries, but their pass rush is much better than the Packers. Their secondary still has some players. Like, the Packers' secondary is garbage. Like, I think it's a bottom five secondary. So could Goodwin take one deep? Yes, but Beathard on the day, I'm a little bit scared off of him.
Yeah, I think I think you know I would I'm not interested in pairing him with Goodwin. For me, it's more a naked Beathard or a naked Goodwin. I just don't think that there is much sense in pairing that duo, because as we know, like, CJ Beathard can throw for 300 yards. He can score you a couple touchdowns. He can get you some rushing yards. But the likelihood that he and Goodwin hook up for, you know, 7, 8 receptions for 100 plus yards is very low. You know,
And it just happened,
There's
so
that one or two deep ball shots that they're going to take, you know, maybe three shots they're going to take, maybe connect on one of them. But that's not stackable to me. And so I think you just go one or the other if you're interested. I'm not crazy about either of them. I like them. I know Beathard is super cheap on FanDuel. I don't know how much he is on DK right now, but, you
he's
know.
very cheap there as well.
Yeah, so. It's an interesting play, you know, depending on what you think about that game environment.
Just wait on that a week is my opinion. Like, they've got some easy opponents down the road that you can take advantage of that matchup. So,
Yeah.
and real quickly, just touch on this game, which I think could be a sneaky shootout. Minnesota visiting the Jets. 46 is the over/under, but the Jets have been racking up points this season. They let Indy into the game last week, so their defense has had its moments, but the Vikings offense, I think, should not have trouble with them. I like Cousins a lot. And I really like stacking him with Thielen and Diggs. Thielen obviously is going to be super popular, even though he's expensive. just seems like a lock for 100 yards. The Diggs on a bounce back game, I'm really interested in him. He's just a cut below some of the most expensive receivers. So that I kind of feel like works in his favor where, you know, if you're going to spend up for Diggs, you can get to the next guy who's a little bit bigger name and maybe keeps Diggs ownership suppressed slightly. You like either of those Minnesota receivers?
I mean, I'd love Adam Thielen. I don't think there's anybody out there that would say otherwise. You know, using him feels like you're using a running back.
And they don't have a running back, so he's getting a giant portion of the plays that would go to a starting running back. He's just right. A secure, safe bet, and he's getting an extra like 3 to 5 targets a game that probably would have been running back carries.
Mm. Yeah, but I do – now, I know that everybody you know, who pays attention to market share and just, you know, the game-by-game trends, like, notices that – I mean, even before Kirk Cousins arrived in Minnesota, Thielen and Diggs can both have week-winning upside together on the same week. But I do really like Diggs as a pivot off Thielen. Not necessarily that I'm saying Thielen won't have a good game. It's just that this, I mean, this could be the biggest gap in their salary in, I mean, I don't want to say ever, but normally we see them neck and neck, and Thielen is 1,100 more than Diggs on FanDuel. He's projected for more than twice the ownership right now. So I just think Diggs is a really sharp, I don't want to say pivot, but he's a sharp play. He's a sharp play to get a piece of this legit Minnesota pass offense. But Thielen, I mean, I feel like you'd be stupid to bet against Thielen for not getting another 9 or 10 catches and 100 yards.
Right. And, you know, I said on the Tuesday show, you got Buster Screen. If he goes, he's Buster Screen. He's their slot corner. He's not good. And if he doesn't, you got a guy who couldn't beat out Buster Screen. that's a good situation one way or the other.
Right.
All right. You are working on a little bit of an ownership tool. You want to review that at all?
Sure.
We move on to the positions.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing that I did a lot with my basketball and MLB tools over the last year and a half is I like to look at, you know, trends, like changes in salary, changes in, you know, with baseball, like different metrics, like, you know, WOBA and XFIP, et cetera, you know. And one thing I like to look at with football, because, you know, football, you know, so much of the information, the statistics, and, you know, the trends are baked into the ownership projections. And so one thing I'm doing is I found an ownership projection source that I really like. And I am looking to compare the open, you know, so if we're looking at something like an implied total or, you know, projected runs or whatever, the open projection for the ownership with the live ownership projection. And I'm just subtracting the open from the live projection and seeing whether ownership is going up or going down. So it's just something that you could try yourself and build into your own process. So just a few things that I'm noticing position by position, and feel free to stop me, Mike, at any time. Maybe just start with quarterbacks. I'll just throw a couple out there. Joe Flacco has seen a massive spike in his ownership. By and large, the biggest spike in ownership for any quarterback. 8% increase, went from 5 to 13. That's pretty interesting. Nobody really dropped heavily. Luck and Bortles both dropped 2%. Cousins went up 2%, but Flacco, that's a monster increase in ownership projection going against the Saints in what could be a low key shootout. I don't know. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I think that game features a little more offense than people are expecting. Like, the Saints aren't bad on the road. They're just not the top scoring team of the week like they are at home. So, you know, and this is a nice, does defense matter showdown, because you've got a top defense and a top offense facing off yet again here. Right now, team defense does not matter is taking the win.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and, you know, the Ravens do like to pass. Just another, you know, low-key trend over the years is that the Ravens are one of the most high-volume passing offenses. So if there's any team you want to pass against, it's, you know, Ravens at home against the Saints. So that's an interesting play with Joe Flacco. Looking at running back, you know, outside of Nick Chubb and Todd Gurley, both of whom have seen a pretty nice bump in ownership for different reasons, Chubb going from barely 1% ownership projection to almost 10%, and Gurley going from 39% to 46%. A couple other guys that pop on this list are Kerryon Johnson going against the poor Dolphins run defense. He's gone up 7% from 1 to 8. Shady McCoy has popped a little bit, going up from 10 to, or excuse me, from 2 to 5. And a couple other guys in that area, Sony Michel, Kenyon Drake, Frank Gore, Duke Johnson, Tariq Cohen, Buck Allen have all has seen modest bumps. As far as droppers at the running back position, Zeke Elliott down from 25% to 20%. You know, perhaps the DFS community at large has really, from earlier in the week until now, realized the error in their ways and said, you know, we will bow at the altar of Gurley and get away from Zeke going against the Redskins in a tough divisional matchup. And then Peyton Barber has gone down from 10 to 7. And you and I believe, can both get on board with that drop per the discussion we had 10, 15 minutes ago.
And I would think Chubb has a lot to do with that.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So that's running back. As far as receiver goes, just a little surprise here is seeing Golden Tate really pop. Golden Tate has increased 5%. I don't know. I'm not sure really what to make of that. I mean, it's interesting to see, you know, no surprise with Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks really spiking a lot with Cooper Kupp being out. John Brown, you know, the primary air yards guy on the Ravens going against that Saints defense, D-Jax, and Marquise Goodwin, couple deep ball guys. You know, John, that's an interesting trio right there. Is just throwing John Brown, DeSean Jackson, and Marquise Goodwin out there on FanDuel and hoping that each of them can have a big day. I like that. That little tree.
Throwing off in lineup.
Yeah, man.
That'd be good to use in my high-low contest.
Yeah. And one other guy that he hasn't seen any change in his ownership, surprisingly, but Tre'Quan Smith. I'm really going deep there. But if this game – you know, New Orleans and Baltimore turns into a shootout. You know, Teddy Ginn just went on IR, and Tre'Quan is a highly regarded prospect there in New Orleans. Looking at the droppers, looking at the droppers, Nook Hopkins down 9% going against Jacksonville. I know that some sharp people are pretty high on him. I heard what's his face? CSU Ram talking him up on
Jennings.
Yeah, Peter Jennings. And then Adam Thielen has seen a pretty big drop, but you know, he's going from 30% to 25%. So, you know, big whoop.
Yeah, that could be a lot of the girly shares too.
That's right.
Get them both in.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. As Gurley goes up, Thielen goes down. And then Jarvis has gone down 4% and Taylor Gabriel down 4%. Michael Thomas down 3%, as was Mike Evans.
Cool.
And then I'll just finish it up real quick with tight end. Our biggest mover is my boy David Njoku, up 7%. Projected at 24% ownership on FanDuel. I wonder, I'm interested to see if that comes to fruition. I don't know. I don't know if he'll be that highly owned. I could see him being lower than that. I feel like some casuals don't even know he exists. I don't know. That's just me. And Gronk, I mean, where has Gronk been all year? Down 6% to from 17 to 10. Tough matchup with the Bears, but you know, when is Gronk? When is Gronk
not been there?
Yeah, and when is his salary going to get below 7K on FanDuel?
Close.
It's close, man. And Jordan Reed does not deserve to be increasing by 6%. Massive spike for Jordan Reed. Ownership's up 200% from 3 to 9.
I like Jordan Reed if Sean Lee wasn't going to go.
Yeah.
I believe he's practicing and hoping to play. That's one of those you're just going to have to see on Sunday.
Mm. And then finally, if you're looking for a defense that's trending, two that are really trending are the Eagles and the Lions. The Eagles going against Carolina. You know, Cam is always a GPP play, but he's prone to mistakes going against a tough defense in the Eagles. And the Lions, you know, they can get after it. And, you know, Brock Osweiler, I mean, he won some dude $1 million last week, but I don't know if it's going to happen again. So,
yeah, that could be a sneaky play there because Brock is absolutely capable of throwing it to the wrong team quite a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I might have to mix them in because I got nothing down low defense wise. There's not a single defense I like this week outside of Jacksonville.
Yeah. Yeah. Defense is really hard to choose this week. So just FYI, I mean, there's only three defenses that have seen at least 1% ownership increase upward. And that's Philly, Detroit, both at almost 6% change. So they're really moving. Houston has gone up 2.5% going against Jacksonville. And the Jets going against Minnesota, up 1%. And then our droppers are the Colts against Buffalo. Derek Anderson is going to pull a Brock Osweiler this week. Throwing a Kelvin Benjamin.
Benjamin is your Albert Wilson. That's that's been discussed in some DFS circles.
God.
Don't Carolina connection.
Oh.
That may be getting too cute.
Yeah, and then the Rams have dropped a bit too in what many think could be a shootout. I could see the Rams tying one on and blowing the doors off the Niners.
Yeah, but Broncos that's just me. Style.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, the Broncos were – or the Niners were – oh, my God. Third time's a charm. The Cardinals were a
one of those NFC West teams.
One of those teams. The Cardinals were like a cute team to pick in Pick'ems last night. I know I talked to a few people and they were, you know, oh, the Broncos are done. Case Keenum's garbage. You know, he's done. And what
I mean, they hung with the Rams. I don't know how you could say that that team's done. Like, you know, maybe it's because I nailed that game and like just used tons of Broncos in the showdowns. But, you know, I never thought it was going to be close.
No.
All right, let's hit some positions, Fern. We covered QB pretty well. Is there anybody we missed that you wanted to hit on?
Yeah, let me go back to my QB.
The one guy you mentioned in your ownership piece there, Carson Wentz. I feel like he's getting not very much pub, and Carolina's defense is not a great defense at the moment, especially on the road in Philly, and Wentz and the Eagles are trending in the right direction, so a Wentz Jeffrey Ertz stack could pay some dividends.
Yeah, I mean, that's not a bad call. You know, I mean, I don't know how much upside there is to it. If all of those guys can really coexist in a stacky kind of way, but it's possible. I mean, Wentz is an outstanding talent. I mean, Alshon is an elite red zone target. Ertz is obviously a target reception hog. With good yak ability.
I mean, this team gave up 31 to the Giants, so.
Yeah, you're right. And Carolina, you know, they are prone to, you know, having weeks where they're very good defense. I don't want to say elite defense, but they're very good defense. Just kind of shits the bed, and before you know it, you know, it's a 28-24, you know, type of affair. So yeah, I don't mind it. And let's be honest, you know, as much as people are into, you know, Wendell Smallwood and Corey Clement, you know, as up and coming backs, I mean, I don't think that that's what Doug Peterson wants to do first and foremost. Like, he wants the ball in his franchise quarterback's hands, going to his franchise tight end and receiver, and outstanding talent in Jeffrey, but also in Jesus Christ, man, what the hell? the slot receiver,
Aguilar,
god damn. Yeah, I mean, the Eagles have an offense that has an explosive potential to it. I feel like there's going to be a stretch this year where your boys can put up some gaudy numbers. It's in there. It's just the question when will it happen?
They're getting healthier for the most part, hopefully.
Yeah.
And any other QBs for you?
I mean, there's Jared Goff. I just don't know if I want to spend $8,300 on a quarterback. I'm just really not interested in paying that much for my quarterback this week when, right, you know, I've got Baker Mayfield, CJ Beathard way down low, you know, Joe Flacco, Matthew Stafford, you know, Carson Wentz. I mean, even Jameis in the mid range there. You know, how much more can Jared Goff score out of 100 games playing at the 49ers than, say, you know, Jameis playing 100 games against the Browns, or Stafford playing 100 games against the Dolphins? And I think the difference there is negligible. And so, that said, like, that $800 difference between Flacco and Goff, or that $800 difference between Stafford and Goff, means a lot this week if we're trying to get Gurley in there. We're trying to get some competent pass catchers in there. We can definitely pay down at running back, but I just don't know if I really want to spend up for Goff or Brady or Breeze this week.
Yeah. Yeah, I kind of feel the same. I mean, I'll throw him in a couple lineups just to see in case he does have a huge day, but doesn't feel like they're going to need to push it and we've seen that end up having a low total for him. All right, running backs. Yeah, we touched on the big guys. I kind of differ from you on Zeke. I think Zeke has such a guaranteed workload, and it could be a little sneaky because people are going to look at Washington as a tough run defense, and they just haven't really faced anyone and even really given up like double-digit carries to very many backs. So with Zeke, we know he's getting 15 to 20 carries. Like, that's happening. Put it down. Whether he's successful or not, we'll see. But given that he is the Dallas offense, and you know the game probably is going to be a fairly close game, there's no reason that he's going to ever not be involved. So I kind of like him as my co-captain on Team Cram Him In.
Yeah, I mean, he's got the floor. You know, he's got the guaranteed usage. You know for a fact that he's going to get you 20 touches. The question is how many times can he put it in the end zone? You know, on DraftKings, you know, how many receptions can he add to the mix to make it worth it? And so there is the floor. I feel like if there is a week to get him in there, based on how things have been going this year with the chalk just being out of control, hitting every week, you know, the public smartening up, the public really benefiting a lot from soft pricing and an abundance of information. You know, this has been one of the harder NFL seasons this year because, at least up to this point, because again, like the average player has so much more information at their disposal. And I feel like there has been less of an edge this year. And I really feel like this week, the edge is going to be there for sharper players, more thoughtful players. And, you know, maybe people outsmart themselves a bit and, or, you know, and get away from Zeke. I mean, like I said, he has the biggest ownership drop from Wednesday to tonight, at 6% drop. So it might be a sharp play to get him in there, in some spots.
What's going on with Chris Thompson? Have you seen anything with him? Is he going to play, do you think?
Yeah, I think he's still too banged up. He might suit up. I know he's questionable right now. I think he limited practice. I don't know. I don't feel like going and looking it up and wasting everyone's time right now. But, you know, he's kind of in a Matt Breda spot where, I mean, Matt Breda is what, 190, 195? He's not a big guy. I mean, Chris Thompson's even smaller. Like, I'm pretty sure Thompson's in the 180s. So, yep. That's the kind of player where if he's a little banged up, especially against a hard-hitting, ferocious defense in the Cowboys, like, I don't know how much I'm into using him. That said, I think it's less about using him and more about how does it affect, you know, AD, you know, how does it affect – I mean, honestly, I don't know how much people realize it, but Chris Thompson's going to affect Vernon Davis. Right. And Jordan Reed as well.
Yeah, like if he goes, I just see Gruden, you know, like he's got nothing in the playbook. He's got no wide receivers. He's got a quarterback that doesn't want to push the ball.
It's pathetic.
In divisional matchups, he's done it time and time again. He just goes to Chris Thompson and he says, okay, make a play for me. I need you to get me first downs and score touchdowns.
Yeah. Yeah. So I do think that if anybody does anything, it's going to be Alex Smith distributing the ball, you know, maybe punching it in one time himself.
Yeah. He usually gets a couple rushing touchdowns.
It's gross. I mean, you know, I mean, Dustin Hopkins could lead the team in scoring, to be honest with you.
Any other backs on your mind here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just looking at raw ownership projections, I mean, the public is pretty into the Patriots backfield and Sony Michel and James White, and I guess it's kind of like a pick 'em there, you know, because both are at 12% right now, but Sony's seen the late week surge going up almost 3%, and White has actually held strong, only dropping 0.1%. And as we all know, I mean, James White is basically their wide receiver too,
Yep.
but Josh Gordon is emerging and Julian Edelman is getting healthy and Rob Gronkowski's giant shadow looms. James White still though is he's got Tom Brady's trust. But Sony, he's in that LeGarrette Blount role where he's just going to get the valuable red zone carries and he's going to carry the ball inside the 20s. So it's tough. But I mean, I feel like one of these guys could be useful. That said, they're not cheap. They're both 7,300 on the dot, exact same price on FanDuel. So I don't
Feel
know.
better about Sony getting some passing work, which would boost his value because he really hasn't. He's only gotten a handful of targets. Then I do James White getting some serious rushing work or scoring a touchdown. So I guess I'm a little bit more on Sony this week, but.
Yeah, and one guy that is just completely gonna get forgotten, and I don't think that it's much of an injustice, but you know, it's someone to keep in mind is Mark Ingram. Currently projected for 3% ownership, and
I
that's
got some Ingram shares. He could easily have another two touchdown, 50-yard day.
yeah, I know, I know, like, and so I feel like it would just be smart to go overweight on him, not too heavily, but you know, if he's going to get 3-5%, you know, getting 8 to 10% Ingram is, I mean, it could be useful. You know, he's got that double dong potential in him. He's going to get a little work in the passing game. There's a long season ahead of them. I don't know if Kamara is necessarily going to come right back into a high volume role. And I know that people are into him this week as like a rebound candidate, Kamara. So maybe Ingram kind of solidifies like his status on this team as a legitimate member and piece going forward, because I think a lot of people like wrote him off and then said, all right, they're gonna like trade bait him or something. I don't know, but 3% for him, you know, in the potential shootout. It's interesting to me.
Make a catch there. All right, let's move over to receivers. We didn't touch too much on any Lions. I actually like all three of them going against Miami. Golden Tate, really great floor every week. He's healthy. Out of the slot, Miami's nothing special in their coverage there. Kenny Galladay is probably my favorite breakout of the season so far. I think even on the road, he's got touchdown upside. Marvin Jones' price just seems to keep going down. He's got a ton of red zone looks, I believe. So, you know, it's the two touchdown Marvin Jones game is looming at some point here. It could be this week.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely could be, you know, and you see a nice gap in salary there, 6,400 on FD, to Galladay 7 and to Tate 74. You know, as I mentioned earlier, Tate has seen the healthy jump going from 3 to 8%. It's a very high jump compared to the other guys on the slate. Galladay and Jones have both seen a drop in ownership, and as we know, you know, Matthew Stafford is capable of allowing two of these guys to eat at the same time. You know, I don't think that we really need to worry much anymore about You know, any tight end interference with Eric Ebron out of the picture, I don't think we really need to worry much anymore. You know, about running back, receiving, running back.
Theoretic.
My Alzheimer's is ruled out. Oh, he's ruled out.
Yeah, he got ruled out for the game.
Excellent. So, yeah, maybe this could be like a really poor man's Vikings-like situation or a Rams-like situation where so much of the production is concentrated in this trio of receivers. I could see all three of these guys, you know, on any given week, all putting up double-digit points on both sites. They have that ability to do so. Perhaps
we didn't mention it, but Riddick being out is a nice boost for Kerryon Johnson because he should be the passing back.
That's right. And I would really like to see him finally get like a solid 20, 22 touches and just show his worth because he looks like the real deal.
Yep. Any other receivers?
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned before that some smart people are into DeAndre Hopkins. You know, if the Cowboys can embarrass the Jaguars and you can see like
– Hopkins is no Cole Beasley, okay?
He's not. And I don't know if you saw Cole Beasley dropping bars on that radio show, but he's a rapper too. It's pretty
he's a wannabe rapper and a wannabe wide receiver.
He's like a legit rapper, man. Like he's got it in him.
Yeah, he's actually not bad.
Yeah, it's pretty funny. Whatever. Good for him. But yeah, like Hopkins, man. I mean, he's seen a gigantic drop in ownership. I don't know why the public was so high or not the public, like the DFS community, whatever you want to call it, was so high on him a couple days ago. And now they're like, wait a minute. He's gross. I'm not sure.
I feel like it was probably based on like talk about his price point because he's pretty cheap. But then, you know, as people started building lineups, they're saying, yeah, I just can't do it. There's options for prices that you don't need to do it.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like who would you rather roster? Thielen, Thomas, or Hopkins, you know? Right. It's definitely Thielen, you know, 8 times out of 10. You know, and Thomas, I mean, I feel like it's honestly it's a toss up between the two of them. Then we're just looking at kind of that mid range there, and I feel like in the 7K range, a lot of these guys are really interesting. You know, Mike Evans, Robert Woods, Alshon, Steph Diggs, Cooks, you know, Golden Tate. I think T.Y. Hilton is supposed to be back this week, right?
It sounds like it. So if he goes, there's definitely a giant share of targets coming his way, like a dozen targets.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just a whole bunch of interesting receivers. And so I feel like, you know, I feel like a lot of people are going to get down in the 6K range, you know, maybe try to pay up a bit with one of these 7K receivers. So if you could find a way to get Thielen and Gurley into your lineup and not really kill yourself with like low, low value plays that are going to hurt you more than if you would have balanced things out, like, give it a try, because I just feel like Gurley and Thielen are just locks for giving you some really nice return on your investment.
Yep. All right, then let's wrap up with a tight end. Give me a tight end not named Njoku.
Oh, man, it's going to be hard. yeah.
I'd repeat O.J. Howard or George Kittle interests me.
Yeah.
You know, the Rams have gotten beat up by tight ends a little bit.
Yeah, you know, George Kittle, definitely. I mean, he's a freakish athlete, and, you know, he's been naked in the shower with C.J. Beathard, so okay. They have that special connection. Exactly. So, yeah, you know, Kittle, I like Kittle a lot. I mean, I locked in Njoku, like, on Monday morning when I was driving to work. That's like my it's like my tradition is to like build out my initial lineup in the car as I'm like commuting in traffic, just kind of sitting there trying to figure out where I want to go without even doing any research. And Joku right away immediately was my guy. But yeah, I like Kittle. If TY comes back, it'll make me a little nervous about Ebron, though. I mean, he's just been getting wide receiver one target share, scoring touchdowns like a crazy person. Zach Ertz, obviously, as well, is just an elite producer. I guess if there's like one other guy off the beaten path a little bit that interests me, I mean, it's possible that Trey Burton, if the Bears need to play catch up with New England a bit, he could do a little something there. But
Yeah, I'm
ultimately,
high on
like,
Burton.
yeah, I like Burton, but ultimately, like, just for me, like, I'm going to eat it and go with Njoku. I know he's supposed to be extremely heavily owned, but I really don't care. Like, he's getting all the targets in Cleveland and he's going against Tampa Bay. Like, what more could you ask for? 5,700 on FD.
Yeah, not a lot of other options.
Mm-mm.
All right, Fern, hey, what are you drinking there real quick before we wrap?
Just a basic Sam Adams Oktoberfest.
Oh, nice.
Went to the liquor store the other day and they had also a bottle of Glenfiddich Scotch for 40% off. So
Wow.
I think that'll be my nightcap on this beautiful Friday night. What about yourself?
Well, Deschutes Black Butte Porter.
Nice.
Always a
Nice.
nice
It's
choice.
porter season
It
now.
is, yeah.
Yeah, brother.
I always drink dark beers year round, but
Yeah, me too. I mean, if I'm outside playing softball, cutting the grass, at the beach, it's definitely, some Bud Lights or Coronas. But when I'm at home, I'm at happy hour, whatever, it's always going to be something darker. And I don't know. I went more macro micro. I don't know. I guess Sam Adams would be like a macro. I don't
I
know.
mean, I think they're technically still a microbrewery.
I mean, it's a
I guess
publicly traded company.
I like Sam Adams. Like, they put out a decent product, and
They do.
we actually did a blind taste test with Sam Adams lager mixed in with some New England other IPAs, and
Yeah.
like people gave it like a crazy good rating.
Of course they did. People are idiots. I'm an idiot. We're all idiots. It's just beer is beer is beer, and I love me some Sam Adams. People can kiss my ass if they don't think it's, ooh, fancy enough. But I'm right there with you, man. I love the dark beer. I love some. I know. I doubt TJ Hernandez is watching us right now, but I know they hate their IPAs, and I don't know what the hell's wrong with them.
Yeah. I joke with a friend who doesn't like IPAs that I'm not a big IPA guy either. We're going to start a brewery and call it No IPA Brewing.
Good call.
You
I
don't have
like that.
IPAs. If you want an IPA, you can go elsewhere.
Well, I will be your first customer.
All right. That does it for this week, guys. Thanks for being on, Fern. You can get us at patreon.com/lineuplogic if you want to subscribe to the tools, the cheat sheet, etc. Good luck this week, Fern.
You too, Mikey.
Take care.
You too.